If you have your Bibles, you want to turn me to John chapter 11. That's where we're going to be for the most part today. You know, the last several weeks we've been leaning into hearing God's voice and finding our own whisper spot, so to speak, the place where God we can hear God's voice, the place where God speaks to us. And throughout Scripture, we find people who have a spot where God speaks to them, right? And we've talked about that it's not a specific place necessarily, that God can speak to you anywhere, but there are certain places in time and certain places that God just speaks more. It seems like He's more audible, or we can hear louder. And it's probably because we get our minds clear, but we're going to roll back into that next week. But I feel like today that we need to go a different direction. And so several weeks ago, I was reading this John chapter 11, and it's a familiar scripture. I've read it thousands of times, but there was something about halfway through the chapter that jumped out to me. This is about Lazarus and the resurrection of Lazarus, and there was something, though, that about halfway through that chapter that just jumped out, and it's in John chapter 11, verse 21. It's when Jesus has got there. You know, he's waited 2 days before he left. They said he's on his deathbed. The doctors are calling the family in. He said he'll be fine. Death is not going to be the end of this. That's what he said. And so he waited 2 days, and then he begins to go on, and he gets to Bethany. It's a two-day journey. He gets there. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. In verse 21, though, it says, Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that should be the end of the statement, right? But there should be a comma instead of a period, because she says, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And when I read that, but even now, I started thinking about how even now God can do something. That regardless of your situation or your circumstance or what you're going through, even now God can do something. If Jesus would have been there, Lazarus wouldn't be dead. I mean, he's healed blinded eyes. He's caused the lame to walk. Surely he could have healed Lazarus and he wouldn't have died. But now he's dead, and Martha is saying he died, and even now I know that you can do something. She's making a bold proclamation. She was dreaming big. She was praying bold prayers, so to speak. She was making the same statement that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made in Daniel chapter 3 when they're standing before Nebuchadnezzar. And it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power. But let us make it clear, Your Majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. We know that our God can and will, but whether he does or doesn't, it does not matter, because we are not going to bow to the idol. And Martha's making the same statement. She says, I know that you can. I know that you will. But even if you don't, I'm still going to worship you. I'm still going to believe that you're the Messiah. I mean, nothing has changed. You should have been here. He wouldn't be dead if you were here. But even now, I know that you can still do something. You can still do something. Where were you? Where were you? Have you ever felt like God is blessing everyone else and not you? Have you ever been there? You know, there's times in my life that I felt like God was performing miracles for everyone but me. He's blessing everybody else. You're on the outside looking in going, why are you not doing something for what we're asking you to do, God? You're restoring sight to the blinded. You're driving out demons. You're healing diseases. And we're standing on the outside looking in going, God, we've been praying and asking you to do something and you haven't shown up. You ever been there? That's where Martha and Mary were. They were like, where were you? We called, we came and told you and asked you to come and you didn't. Where were you? Why didn't you come? John chapter verse 3 of says, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus. This is before this. Sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive the glory for this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. And finally he said to the disciples, let's go back to Judea. He could have went to Lazarus. He still would have been late, because at that point it was a 2-day journey and he waited 2 days, so he still would have been late even if he would have left right then. Because by the time he got there, Lazarus had been dead for how many days? 4. He still would have been late, but he wouldn't have been 4 days late. They would have still been crying while he's still in the bed. They wouldn't have put him in a tomb. Why didn't you come? If you would have just been here, why didn't you come, Jesus? You could have come. You could have saved him. You could have healed him. I'm sure Mary and Martha were feeling a little left out. Jesus, their friend, he's healing, he's blessing, he's restoring everyone. But he's not answering their prayers. He's answering everyone else's prayers, it seems, but not mine. We can get to feeling sorry for ourselves sometimes and wonder when our turn is coming. When's God going to answer our prayers? Or we can even get offended by Jesus blessing someone else and not us. He's not answering my prayer. He answered their prayer. Look what he did for them. He blessed them. When am I going to get that blessing? What did they do to deserve it? John the Baptist, the forerunner of the gospel, the son, the one that Jesus said, no greater man is born of woman than John the Baptist. He's sitting in jail. And Jesus could have rescued him. He could have got him out before he was beheaded. But instead, he sends a message to him. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 4, he says, Jesus told them, go back to John. He's talking to John's disciples. He says, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk. Those with leprosy are cured, and deaf ears hear. And dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who are not offended by me. What does that even mean? Come on. How are we offended by God? But we get offended when someone else is blessed and we're not. We get offended sometimes when someone else's prayer is answered and ours isn't. And we wonder, why didn't he answer my prayer? Why didn't he do that for me? And we're offended and we miss the blessing. And we miss it. We miss it because we got offended because Jesus decided to stay where he was for 2 days instead of running home to Lazarus. We get offended because Jesus was busy and couldn't come right then when they called. Even though he looks at them and says, let them know this won't end in death. They saw him coming, and Martha runs to him, and Mary said, I don't even want to go out there. I'm offended that he didn't come. The key to being able to say, but even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of. The key to being able to say, even now, I know you can do something, is not being offended when he doesn't answer the way that we think he should or would. Being able to say, even now, I know you can, means that we're not mad about the way that it happens. That it might feel late, but he's never late. Verse 11, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. And the disciples said, Lord, he is sleeping. He will soon get better. Because they thought that he meant Lazarus was simply sleeping. And we kind of get on him and we're like, how could they think that? Why weren't they seeing this? It's because they heard him say, this won't end in death. They believed what he said. When he spoke, they believed it. It's easy for them to say, he's just sleeping. Let him sleep. He'll wake up. And then finally he says, kind of like he's perturbed, Lazarus is dead. There's nothing more we can do for him. He says, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Jesus had already said it wouldn't end in death. They were just going with what he said. They weren't trying to be play the fool. They were just saying, you said he wouldn't die, so we think he's just sleeping. You just said he was asleep. Verse 17 says, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. And when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, what did she say? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. It would seem that Martha's statement could have ended with my brother would not have died. But instead, she makes an incredible statement of faith. And when she says, even now, she was saying, I know that you could have healed him when he was still sick. I know that he's been dead for 4 days. I know that after 4 days, he stinks. I know that after 4 days, it feels hopeless. I know that after 4 days, that you are still the Messiah and that you, whatever you speak will be done. She says, in verse 23, Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. And Jesus told her, no, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And she says, yes, Lord, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, and the one who has come into the world from God. The reason that she was even able to say even now is because she was not offended that he didn't come when they called. So the reason that she was saying even now is she realized he was the Messiah. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Even after it appears the dreams are dead and buried, even in the middle of the hopelessness or brokenness, we have hope because of Jesus, because he is the resurrection and the life. Verse 32 says, when Mary arrived, there's a whole lot of stuff that happens in between here. They're crying and sobbing and weeping and wailing with her, you know, as Mary leaves the house and all these people who came to not do anything, but they were professional criers, and they came to cry and wail with her, and it makes Jesus mad. Says that. But it says, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have been dead. And where Martha put a comma, Mary put a period. That was it. Because she was offended at what he had done by not coming. I guess she wasn't offended with what he did. She was offended with what he didn't do. By not coming, I am upset with you. By not coming, I am offended. If you had just been here, my brother wouldn't have been dead. And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing after her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? I told you this wouldn't end in death. Where did you put him? Where is he at? And they told him, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Everyone had the same sentiment, that if Jesus had been there, Lazarus wouldn't have been dead. Everyone believed the same thing. They all believed that Jesus could have healed him. They all believed that what had gone on in Lazarus' life could have been stopped by Jesus, and he wouldn't be dead if he would have just been there. What's amazing to me is earlier in Scripture, we see him speak to someone who is 100 miles away, and God heals them. So he didn't even have to go. He could have just spoke it into existence, and it would have happened. But if he would have just been here, he wouldn't be dead. If he would have just been here, Lazarus wouldn't be dead. Verse 39 says, he gets up there and he says, roll the stone away, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. And Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, these professional criers, so that they will believe too that you sent me. That was added into. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Listen to me. He gets up there and he tells them to roll the stone away because he had told them he's not going to die. The reason that the anger inside of him wasn't, well, it was because of the professional criers. But really the anger that he had was because he's told them that this wouldn't end in death. Yet they wrapped him in grave clothes and put him in a tomb. They put him in the casket and put the dirt on him. And the whole time he's saying, this is not going to end in death. But if your family says, you stink, you are beyond stink, you stank. Lazarus was beyond stink. He stank, he stunk, he was all of it. He had it all. But Jesus still said, roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. See, there's this Jewish belief in this thing that they believed in this time period especially. They believed that the spirit of a person would hover over the body for 3 days. But after 3 days, decomposition starts. And they believed that the spirit would leave when the body stopped looking like it should. Well, by day 4, it wasn't looking right. It wasn't smelling right. It wasn't nothing right. Done. The spirit had done departed. But Jesus said, roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. Roll it away. He was angry, though, because he told them. In verse 4, he said, when Jesus heard about it, Lazarus' sickness, he said, this will not end in death. It happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory for this. And despite this, they put him in a tomb and wrapped him in grave clothes. And Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Verse 43, then he shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. The dead man came out. They only call Lazarus in this passage of Scripture, Lazarus is called the dead man twice. He's called the dead man when it says the dead man's sister says he stunk. And he's called the dead man when he says he came out of the grave. That's the only time. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Get the grave clothes off of him. To fully appreciate the fact that Lazarus did come out of the tomb, when Jesus called him, you have to understand that Jewish burial customs and traditions, that when Lazarus died, his feet would have been bound at the ankles and his arms would have been tied to his body with linen strips. When the dead body would have been wrapped in approximately 100 pounds of grave clothes to protect and preserve the body. Some scholars believe that the head itself would have been wrapped with so many linens that it would have measured a foot wide. So the best mental image is probably the one immediately that comes to mind. Lazarus looks like a mummy. And based on burial traditions, it seems to me two miracles happened that day. The resurrection of Lazarus, but the fact that he was able to get up and hop out. There wasn't no walking done. His ankles were bound. His arms were bound to his side. He had a foot of linen on his head. And he came waddling, hopping, whatever, to get up out of there. How did he even stand up? I don't know if you've ever been tied up and tried to stand up. It's not easy. But he came out. He came out of the tomb in a full body cast. I'm not sure I could recreate. We couldn't recreate that scene if we wanted to. But Lazarus didn't walk out of that tomb. He hopped, waddled, something. But he got out. And then Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. Get the grave clothes off of him. I told y'all this wouldn't end in death. I'm aggravated and I'm mad, not because all these professional criers are here, although they irritate me. I'm aggravated and mad because I told you this wouldn't end in death, and yet you didn't believe me, and you put him in the tomb. And not only did you just put him in the tomb, you wrapped him in 100 pounds of grave clothes, thinking that he is dead, and I told you it wouldn't end in death. It wouldn't end in death. And yet, you put a period where I put a comma. You said it was over. You said it was done. You said the promise that I gave you was never going to come to pass, that it was hopeless, that it was dead. I am telling you, I put a comma. You put a period. It's not over. If I said it, it's going to happen. Get the grave clothes off of him. How often in our lives have we placed a period where God intended a comma to be? How many times have we wrapped ourselves or wrapped our dreams in grave clothes, wrapped the promises that God has given us in grave clothes and put them in the grave because it looked to us that the situation was hopeless, that it was dead, and yet Jesus is saying, I promised it. And if I told you, if I gave you the dream, if I gave you the promise, get the grave clothes off. Stop wearing grave clothes when you don't need to be. Stop letting promises die because you changed your mind after God already promised it. Stop letting God-given dreams die because you don't see how it'll work. Because you've tried to do it on your own. And it's not worked out. It's because you're trying to do it on your own. Get out of the way and let God. Let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. Stop getting in his way. We miss miracles. We miss miracles because we put a period where God put a comma. He said, I'm not done. Death is not going to be the end of this. Get him out of the tomb. It's not over. It's not over. Billy, they tried to put a period on you, man. It was a comma. You're still going. You're still going. How many times do we lose it and miss it because we wrap it in grave clothes and put it in the tomb? This morning, Jesus is calling you out of the tomb. He's saying it's time to take off the grave clothes. He's calling you out of sin. He's calling you out of death. He's calling you out of the tomb. There are a couple of traditions surrounding Lazarus about what happened to him next. One suggests that he, Martha, and Mary ended up in modern-day France. Another one puts them on the island of Cyprus. In both stories, the story alludes to that he lived for another 30 years. How long he lived after he died and rose again, we don't know for sure. But Jesus gave him a second chance, a second life. If the grave robber wants to do the same for us, he wants to give us back the life the sin and Satan has stolen from us. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Son of God entered the space-time continuum so that you could exist, so that you could spend eternity with Him in a place where there is no more mourning, crying, or pain. And death is defeated and once and for all. Jesus came to this earth and paid a debt He didn't owe. Died on a cross for us, and 3 days later He walked out of a tomb so that we could have eternal life with Him. What did He say to Martha? He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in Me will live even after dying." He is the resurrection and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. That's the resurrection we came to celebrate, was His. This was the foreshadowing. After this moment was when they started plotting to kill Jesus. Because we can deny people getting healed. We can deny blinded eyes open. But we can't deny a dead man getting up out of the grave. He's still here. And He can still give life to hopeless dreams. He can give life to dying situations if we just let Him. I'm going to ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I thank You right now. I thank You for moving in this house, God. I thank You for what You're doing in this place, Lord. I thank You for showing up, Lord. I thank You for being who You are. I thank You for dying on a cross for us. Lord, I thank You for getting up out of that tomb and leaving it open for all of us to see. Lord, I just pray this morning that if there are situations in this house that seem hopeless, if there are situations in this house that seem dead, that You will breathe life into it, God. That we won't wrap dead grave clothes around living situations. Lord, we just thank You, we praise You. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And you say, "This morning I want to get right with Him." If you don't know Him or you're not where you need to be with Him, He's calling you this morning. If you don't know Him or you're not where you need to be with Him, I want to invite you to come to the front. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. I want to stand with you. But maybe you're here and you've got a dream, or God has given you a promise, and right now it seems hopeless. Right now, you don't see how it'll ever come to pass, and it just seems hopeless. And you say, this morning, I need life given back to my dream, my promise. I've put grave clothes on it. I need resurrection to happen. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it. Don't let pride and what other people think hold you back. If you need to be here, I encourage you to move. If you need a healing in your body, if you need God to set you free from something, I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. God is in this place. He's here. If you don't want to come alone, grab the person next to you and bring them with you. Don't miss it. If you need a healing, if you need God to show up in a situation, if you need life given to a promise or a dream, I'll encourage you to move. Lord, I just pray right now. Lord, I know that there are more that need to be here this morning. And Lord, I pray that You begin to move in their hearts even now, right where they are. And Lord, I pray that this morning that You begin to touch the ones that responded. And Lord, I pray that You begin to do what only You can do in their lives. If you feel it to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so.